This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Tech Talk is underway on this sunny but chilly Saturday. Great day to get something done on your computer. And if you have a problem with your hardware, software, whatever, feel free to call the program. Doug Swinhart is available for the entire hour. And the number is always 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226, and that is good for a call or a text. Doug, hope you're doing well.
Oh, absolutely. It's a little bit chilly, but I'm not going outside, so it's not that big a deal, but it is cold outside.
Yeah, it looks like things are going to warm up next week, which is good, a little bit of a January thaw. I wanted to open, and you brought it up as of late. And for years and years, we've talked about the value of Gmail and what you get with Gmail and so on and so forth. But as of late, you've been talking a lot about Proton. Tell us more. What's available? Why do you like it?
I just love this program. You know, they were just strictly secure mail in the past. And I think they started to breach out about 5 or 6 years ago. But today, it's a full suite. Yeah, the mail can be encrypted on both ends, provided both people have Proton accounts, and you can even keep your email addresses and have it slide in, and Proton takes care of it. Proton AG is one of the largest security companies on the planet from Switzerland, and they do it right, I think. The big thing, in addition to the mail, one of the most impressive things that I've got playing around with is Proton Pass. The password manager is just absolutely to die for. It's easy to set up. Goes in and you import all your stuff from all your browsers if you want to. And it just categorizes and keeps everything nice and straight no matter what computer you're on. You open up a web browser, you log in, and it pulls it in. As soon as you close that web browser, there's no connection to it whatsoever. And it is just wonderful. In addition to that, we've got Proton VPN, and there's a lot of talk about VPNs being dead today. I think that kind of speech is a little bit premature. Proton VPN, you can sign up for the free one, but if you get the pay one, it is absolutely second to none. It's fast, it's accurate, and you have no problem at all connecting to Amazon Prime or Netflix or Disney or any of them. And these guys got their copyright set up pretty hard, so it's been difficult for VPNs to actually be consistent with these services. But Proton VPN, no problem. I just love this. I would encourage everybody to sign up for a free Proton email and just try it out. Give it a test drive. Let us know what you think.
All right, Doug, is it relatively easy to route current email? I have a personal Yahoo account, personal Gmail account. If I did set up a Proton account, have you experimented with how much it would be to get those emails to funnel into that as well?
Well, they'll give you what they call a clearing email. It's kind of like a dump ground. So you could put, like, my domains have emails like swinart.com or wccotech.com, and I could put that in, and every email from that account just automatically comes in, every one of them. But that kind of cuts off the functionality on the other side. Another way to do it is wherever you've been getting that mail, just set up an automatic forward. And then go to Proton and set up a filter or a label, if you will, so it goes strictly into a folder so you can sort your accounts. But you'll be able to get those from anywhere. It's just nice to work with. And everything just seems to work. One thing that I was really impressed with is even when I was on the free part of Proton, Their support was lickety-split. I was email, but it's like a couple hours you got an answer at most, and it's a good, clear answer. And the people that work there, they are dedicated. I really like this company. I think they're going to be around a long, long time, and I think they're just getting to be stepping into their stride, so to speak. I think keep an eye on this one.
All right. I want to bring up the free part. Can you spend money with them? If so, what do you get?
Yeah, I actually bought the unlimited package. And so I have, and I think it cost me $170 for 2 years. And that's right at the level of Google Workspace, actually. But that gives me unlimited email. I can have unlimited email addresses, and I can have a separate email address for every weird account that I can create, which really is nice because now I know where the spam is coming from. Secondly, I got 500 gigabytes in Proton Drive. That's a lot of space, a lot of space. Plus, I got the full-blown VPN and the full-blown Proton Pass. And you got an online calendar and online contacts as well. It's just, I just can't see a better way to go. I really can't.
Yeah, and that we talk about various products on the program, and I just, that's one that comes up, and I want to do a little bit deeper dive on that. And once again, proton.com, I would assume?
No, it's proton.me, like me, like you and me. And that's a real popular extension as well for domains. But that, I think, really sets it apart, too. I just really like it. I really do.
Proton.me, if you're looking to add an email account, you may want to give it a try and play around with it a little bit. By the way, the number again on the program, this is good for a call or a text, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. That's good for all our programs 7 days a week here on News Talk 830-WCCO. And we always love to hear from you. Comments, critiques, questions, you name it, send it on in to us. Doug, let's go to the text line. I see the Brave browser has added AI assistance, as in artificial intelligence assistance, called Ask Leo. Do other browsers, are they using AI assistance?
Yeah, you know, AI is going to end up being the big buzzword for this year, next year, and probably the next 10 years. I have not yet had a chance to play with this, and they sent me a notice, and I really want to get at it. Hopefully today or tomorrow or the next day I'll be able to play with it a little bit. You're going to see this, I think, in every web browser that we own. It's going to come. It really is. I think that it was really a step forward for the Brave browser to step up and just get on it. I know for sure that Firefox, Mozilla Firefox, is right behind them, and it's not going to be real. Google's already got it built in. You just can't see it. And you don't. I don't think you have the functionality as an end user that you will with the Brave one. But it's going to be the buzz no matter where we're at. We're going to have AI TVs and AI refrigerators and AI cars, you name it. It's going to be somehow incorporated with artificial intelligence.
Yeah, we've brought this up on the program before, and I think science fiction depicts AI in one way, and that's mostly negative, etc. Anybody who's seen the Terminator movies, for instance, there is an AI component to that. But I also think, though, we should be wary of it, because the potential for this is really off the charts, and what it could do. And I am a big believer in the idea that over time, and it really kind of came into its own, and we really started to learn more about it in 2023. I know it's been on the drawing board for a long time. But I really do believe going forward that this is going to impact a lot of jobs and a lot of people's work and how they work, as much as the internet, as much as the automobile, maybe more.
Oh, there's no question. It's going to bring a lot of things that are what you and I would call good things for us. And it's going to bring a lot of bad things as well. I'm glad that you brought that up. You know, there's a lot of businesses today. Well, it's almost like what happened to photography when digital photography,
for sure,
when everything went digital. It's photographers are, they're still out there, and they're very professional, and they know what they're doing. But their life got real tough when digital photography came out. So everybody's got a camera. Now, of course, everybody's got a camera on their phone. it's made a huge impact on that industry. And I think for creative industry, anything that has to do with graphic design, creating commercials, creating movies for that matter, I think AI is going to have a tremendous impact. You don't always know where the chips are going to fall, but I think it's absolutely correct that you have a concern. I don't think you can hinder technology in this area at that point. I really don't think we can hinder it. If you went online now and you started looking at the free, what's available that you can download and play with for free AI applications, there's a ton of them. And it's amazing what you can get to have for free. Kids in grade school can create their own little cartoon shows. And it's just unbelievable how fast and rapid it's coming. I agree, though, that it should be concerning. And I'm a little concerned with that the same way.
And, by the way, if you want to reach a program, you're always welcome to do it. The number is 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. We're going to take a break right now. We're going to come back. When we do come back from our text line, we're going to talk about iPhones and iCloud backup and a problem with a Gmail account related to that. We'll get into all of that. And we certainly invite your calls and texts here on the program. It is Tech Talk on a Saturday. News Talk, 830-WCCO. Tech Talk rolling along. Doug Swindehart in. And by the way, you can be a part of the program, 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. And you're always welcome to call or text the program. By the way, our producer is Josh Wheeler, waiting to visit with you on the phone. And then, of course, you can text, and that'll come right in to the studio. Doug, let's go to the text line. And here's a good one. I've never heard this before. Very interesting. My wife and I have iPhone 13. We use iCloud for our backups. Last week, we both did a backup. After that backup, all of our inbox emails and our shared Gmail account disappeared, and they never came back. Any idea why this happened? We've had this Gmail account for 15 years with no problems.
I do not.
Wow.
That's very strange, but I can tell you that. Actually, this is interesting you bring this up, because as you may recall, I just got an iPhone. And switching from Android to iPhone, Google account, my Google accounts are not happy. I can't seem to delete my last Android phones from my devices. It's a little bit strange. As far as they're going, from what I heard, hopefully they have their iCloud accounts separate from one another, but it doesn't look like they do. And hopefully their Gmail is someplace in the cloud that's in a suspended mode because it doesn't know who owns it, maybe. I'm not sure. But this would be something you'd want to contact Google about and Apple. We're going to have to get them both involved on this one.
Yeah.
The confusing part of this is neither one of these want to deal with the other.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, and there is conflicting. But I know, and I'm not going to dig into it now because we're on the air, but in your iCloud backups, you can select what is backed up automatically.
Yes.
Photos are one in particular that you may want to keep, or videos, et cetera. Those are ones I back up. Contacts is another one. I think people don't want to lose their contacts, et cetera. So you can kind of pick and choose what's automatically backed up. And I just can't imagine backing up to your iCloud. They would go in and delete something out of Gmail. That seems very unusual.
I don't think that's so much Apple as it is probably Apple and Google both. They're just not talking. And it's been a while since I've actually worked with an iPhone in relation to the syncing. Now, I've got an iPhone 15 Plus, and I think it's a tremendous piece of equipment. It truly is. And as far as going with a Series 9 watch, it's just to die for. But the one thing, couple things that it's got some caveats. First of all, I'm not real big on the interface. It's just, it seems kind of clunky, and it's not as smooth and intuitive as, well, and it's probably because I've been wrapped up in Android forever. It could be. But the flip side is I also see that Apple's being quite protective, and their proprietary nature seems to have increased. Say, for example, I would love it if my iPhone would automatically save to my Proton drive. I got 500 gigs, but instead I'm probably going to have to expand and pay Apple to expand my iCloud storage. And there's really no easy way to coordinate these, and I wish there was. I would like to see where we all can shake hands and get along together, but it's probably not going to happen overnight. But and this isn't just me complaining. This is a lot of Apple users complaining about this, the proprietary nature. And Google is doing the same thing. I don't want to just point the finger at Apple here. Their supremacy to gain and maintain business, it's getting a little rougher for us users to navigate.
Yeah, and they want, you know, they're big businesses, and they want a sure. bigger part of the pie, and they want more of the share of what's going on out there, and they don't necessarily want to play nice. And that's, I think, and a lot of this is still relatively new. I don't think there's any way that government or government regulation can keep up. But in reality, some regulation is necessary. And whether you believe that or not, I guess that's another program and another time. But the point being is I think in situations like this, it would be nice to have someone in the middle saying, you can't do that. You can't do that. You've got to play nice, and that consumers are going to use both products, and you can't make it difficult for you to use different products.
Or impossible. Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know if you can actually legislate that and keep free enterprise free. There's a flip side to this, too. The more we hobble businesses' ability to do things, that's not so good. I think another thing, too, would be the laws being passed that you have to display it prior to purchase. That would be big.
Yeah.
In clear language.
Yeah, in clear language, not 40 pages of doom scrolling right. through legalese that no one's going to read, no one's going to understand. And you brought that up in a previous program and giving mm-hmm. a better understanding on how these products do indeed interact. Now, back to the Gmail. I would think you'd be able to log on in your computer or Chromebook and see your emails. Now, while they're not showing up on your phone, I have no idea, but I can't imagine an iPhone backup to iCloud would impact any of your email accounts in any way. That is very unusual. So we want
unless they had it set up on one of the devices that they had their Gmail set up as a POP3 and they were dragging their emails right off the server, which is never recommended anymore, you know.
Yeah.
But even then, they should be on that phone. They should be somewhere. It almost sounds like there was a confusion between the two parties. The first party had a complete Gmail set up as POP3, and the second person that backed up had it set up as IMAP. That would do it. And that's the only combination I can come up with where they would just be gone. If they're gone out of Gmail, something that had a legitimate logon would have had to have the ability to command that. And that's the only way I can think of is that they had it set up as a POP account.
Yeah, very unusual.
Indeed.
This is a good one. I don't think it's ever come up on the show. I do know the answer to this, and I can throw it out there. But when streaming, sports, a movie, whatever, does the size of the screen take more broadband or bandwidth? And I do know this because it came up with my mom and dad and my mother and father-in-law, and the answer is generally no, it doesn't. The signal coming into your house ultimately goes to the TV, and then the TV processes that signal and puts it on the screen, whether it's a 19-inch screen or an 80-inch screen.
Correct.
The bandwidth coming in has nothing to do what what the television in turn renders and puts up on the screen. So you can have a screen that can fill an entire wall. And
yeah, well, that's true, except when we start talking about resolution. A 4K resolution is going to take a lot more bandwidth than a 1920 by 1080, or a 1080p, it's called, on the TV land. Now, different formats will compress those differently. So generally, you should not be able to see the difference at all.
Correct.
Now my screen on my monitor, my new monitor, is an 8K. And if I start watching a movie, and they're hard to find, 8K movies online, they're not everyday things to find. But I was able to find one, and oh yeah, it was taking a whole lot more bandwidth on my gig. But at the same time, both the computer and the other end at Xfinity, the buffers increased. And it was like a matter of 3-4 seconds, and it was all adjusted. You couldn't see the difference. It's just wonderful technology. We're getting there. We really are.
Yeah. And I think, ultimately, maximizing this, and before we break, we don't want to spend anyone's money, but generally, if you're going to be streaming video at home and even working from home, doing things online at home, depending on who you use, Xfinity or CenturyLink or some other internet service provider, it's generally well worth the money to max out what's available in your neighborhood.
I could not agree more. If you're using the internet properly, it's going to pay for itself week in, week out, day in, day out, 365, 24/7. It really will. Use it. It's one of the greatest tools we have in our house today, is the ability to shop online and get, you can do 5 times as much shopping in a tenth of the time. You know this, Steve. It's just, yeah, I can't imagine making a major purchase without doing research at this point. And you need to, and you're never going to get all the answers, I don't think, but you can get most of them. But it's that's why I always say, well, you know, if they're selling something, they ought to be upfront about all of it if they can, or as much of it that is going to be a negative thing. And that, I think, is really important. But internet, whatever you can afford, I would absolutely encourage you to step up and buy it.
Yeah, no doubt. Well worth it. Whatever is available in your neighborhood. And usually they have, you know, maybe an entry level, and then you can kind of max it out. It generally isn't a whole lot more to go that route.
Not anymore.
Yeah, no, it was at one point in time, but I think it's easier to just let you go at the highest speed available in the neighborhood. 3:31, quick break. We'll have an update on the weather. Much more on our text line, 651-461-9226. We'll talk McAfee, antivirus. We'll also get into Windows 10 as well, coming up following the break, and Linux from our text line here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. It is tech.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Talk, Doug Swinhart aboard, as always, on a Saturday afternoon. We do have a programming note. Next Saturday, we'll have live coverage of Twins Fest from Target Field between 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. Vanita, Chad, Jason, Henry will all be there live from Target Field with Chris Atterbury and company, a lot of players, a lot of great interviews. Once again, we'll be live from Twins Fest next Saturday between 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. We'd love to see you at Target Field. If you can't, you can can join us on the radio. As a result, no Tech Talk next week, but we'll be back in 2 weeks. Doug, let's go to the text line and get into a couple of things. I have an 11-year-old desktop with Windows 10. If and when I have to get a new computer, I was looking at a Chromebook Pro. I only need email, search engines, and an SD card port. Do you think this would be a good way to go?
I do. If you're looking for simplicity, and it's just, and you're used to using a Gmail account, which I'm sure they are, they're looking, and you get into a Pro Chromebook, that's a nice machine. That's a lot of machine, and you'll have everything you need. Nice, nice equipment. Buy it right straight from Google, and they'll finance it. They got all kinds of plans going on these days. That really, they would never, ever be suffering with buyer's remorse that way, ever, I don't think. I think it's the way to go.
Yeah, it is good. If you're just looking for a way to, and we've talked about Chromebooks for a number of years on the program, I've been a big believer in it because now a Pro is a step up money-wise, but, you know, entry-level Chromebooks, it can get a pretty nice machine, pretty versatile machine for under $250 with a decent monitor. It's not a top-of-the-line monitor. But what's great about it is if you're used to dealing with Gmail and all their other apps, if you will, and you're familiar with Drive and how that works and the calendar, et cetera, and you can sync that to your phone, it's pretty handy. It still works pretty well. Now Google by no means is perfect, but it's been a pretty good deal over the years. I've been a fan.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And if they're willing to step up to the Pixel line of computer, they're going to find the resolution on the screen to be just knock your eyes right out of your head. They are nice machines, light, compact, and you can get bigger ones too, 15-inch, 14-inch, netbook size. Yeah, but they really focus on the clarity of the screen and speed-wise. You'd have a fast machine and watch movies for, I think last time I heard, battery life on those was somewhere around 12 hours during use and as much as 3 days in normal use. That's phenomenal. And we're going to be watching batteries pretty close as well. But there is nothing wrong with Google equipment. Google equipment is nice stuff, absolutely nice stuff.
3:39, 21 minutes now in front of 4 o'clock here on News Talk. 830-WCCO, it is Tech Talk. Doug Swinhart is joining us. Josh Wheeler is our producer. My name is Steve Thompson. Al Schock in the newsroom today here at News Talk. 830-WCCO. And let's go to the phones. Mike in Minneapolis. Mike, are you there?
Hi, fellas. Yeah. Say, I texted this, but I don't know if you answered it last week. I listened to the podcast. I'm looking at getting some cameras, security cameras, for someone who's in an assisted living facility. And I'd like something simple that you can use with an app on your phone. Any recommendations? I'm looking at Ring, maybe.
Oh, they're everywhere. Yeah. There's cameras that are smaller than your thumb, to cameras that look like light bulbs. Yeah, I would say your first place to do start research would probably be Amazon, and then check out eBay, and then do some searches via Google on the name brands that you really are interested in. The assisted living home, if that person's got a room, that would be really simple to find something that is available via the phone. And, yeah, you're not going to have any problem at all. You're going to spend somewhere between as low as $20 if you get just strictly a camera that connects to Wi-Fi. Now, the big thing is you're going to want something that actually connects to Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. In case they don't have Wi-Fi, they can connect to the Bluetooth. It's probably a little more secure in a multi-living scenario. But Wi-Fi is going to be probably a little bit more extended. With the Bluetooth, they're going to have to be close to that room to connect to it with their phone, obviously. So keep that in mind. But if you're doing the security system for the whole assisted living place, then I'm going to tell you to do some research on power over Ethernet, PoE. and you would be much, you're going to spend a little more money, but you're going to be much, much more stable and much more secure with Power over Ethernet with any security system. And I hope that helps.
Yeah, and this has come a long way, this technology, and the security as well. I think the big thing is, with any of this home security stuff, is making sure you mind your passwords and have good passwords. I think when some of this stuff came out of the box, it was easy for outsiders to get in and snoop around, etc. They've gotten a whole lot better at that. They had to. I would go with the name brand. You brought up the brand Ring. Other companies that have sold a lot of these things and have a reputation to protect. I think the worry sometimes about going on Amazon and buying equipment, sometimes you get weird off brands.
Yep.
You know, read the reviews, do some research if you're going to go off the beaten path, particularly on technology like this.
Well, that's one of the advantages of Power over Ethernet, too. That's cabled. There's no wireless there.
Correct.
That's huge. And also, people should be aware that if these things have a website that's actually your equipment is going through to get to your phone, find out if there's going to be an ongoing subscription fee. Can you run it and save your own data? What do I need to do that? These are two issues that I think are stumbling blocks for new buyers of security equipment, because they buy it, they get it only, oh, I didn't know that, and, oh, well, I guess it's in the fine print someplace. But be aware of that. And this business at this point is highly competitive.
Yep.
Highly competitive. But the cameras, oh, they're just tremendous. You know, 4K and 8K cameras that are active, they're motion activated, they'll turn on lights. And just a plethora of functionality and users that can really make them work. It's plan it out, take your time, but do your research. Due diligence is really important in this area, and I hope that helps.
Yeah, and I think it's a great idea. I think in situations with elderly friends and relatives, being able to do a check-in, I think it is invaluable. Peace of mind for everybody involved in that situation.
No doubt.
And it is a great, great use of technology. But once again, you want to make sure it's secure, and you want to make sure who's controlling this stuff. That is for sure. Second week in a row, we've had McAfee come up, antivirus. This person on our text line has it for an HP Envy laptop, thinking of switching to ESET. Is that a good one? Do you recommend another one? I don't really do gaming, so what about that move from McAfee to another one?
Oh, you'd be fine. McAfee's had a real wild ride the last 10, 15 years. Bought and sold, kind of bought out by Intel until, I think it was 2016, they merged with some TPG. In 2022, McAfee was going to rename themselves to Trellix. I think there's still part of it that's named that. I would agree with that switch. I think it'd be important. With an HP, however, I would highly recommend that you contact HP and ask them if your machine is eligible to use Wolf Security. That has been created from the ground up by HP. And the big thing with Wolf Security is it not only takes care of your software, but it covers your computer down to the bare metal, which means it's also protecting your firmware. That's huge. And it's just, once you get it installed, I don't think it's overly expensive. The last one I think we set up was somewhere around $30 a year, if I'm not mistaken. But the prices may change too. With a new business line computer, you can have it. And I contacted HP a while ago and asked if they could, people didn't have HP, could they have it? And they, well, it's kind of selective. You'd have to call and find out. But if you got an HP, I think you can get Wolf Security. Give HP a call or get a hold of them online and see if that's available before you purchase. I think you'd like it. I think you'd like it a lot.
We've got more Tech Talk with Doug. Once again, a reminder, 1 week from today, we'll have live coverage of Twins Fest from Target Field. So we won't have a program, but we will be back in 2 weeks. Here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. And you can find all our programs, all the podcasts, at the website, WCCORadio.com. Search Tech Talk, and You'll find the entire library right there. Let's get into antivirus if we have a moment. You've got a list of your favorites. Let's run through that again.
Oh yeah, the thing is ESET ENAD 32 by ESET, wonderful antivirus, absolutely wonderful. Malware Bytes, one of my favorites, has been for several decades. I like these people. You can call them and talk to them on the phone if you're a business. And they're talking about loosening up the support thing and going back to voice. I hope they do, but we'll have to see. It's a tough business to be in. I also like Avira. It comes out of Germany. Wonderful software. Easy to use, easy to install. And, of course, lately I've been looking at real hard Bitdefender. If you're looking for a free one, Bitdefender is it. I would be the only one I'd recommend. And this isn't just a trial version. It's a full-blown thing, almost identical to the paid one. And the paid one doesn't take near the resources that a lot of the other big ones do. And I look at that real hard. Before I can recommend one, I want to see one that does its job and doesn't suck the life out of your computer while it's doing its work. That's absolutely tremendously important to me. And I think it should be to you, too. Too much security can hinder your computer from actually being secure, even if it's the security software that's creating all the lags. So be aware of that. But, yeah, there's a lot of good products out there. Those are my go-to ones right there, and I hope that helps.
And I want to bring up one that we haven't talked about in ages, and that is Kaspersky. And you just don't hear about it anymore at all.
No, and I tell you why. Kaspersky, you know, when we got there was some company in Russia that kind of attacked the U.S. on a hacker level. And, you know, the news came out. I don't know if it's true or not. But some of the people were claiming that it was Kaspersky's antivirus that allowed that to come into this. I don't know if I believe that. But they're like a block away from the Kremlin. So it's that really is what I think created the, well, how do I say, the negative tone across the country for Kaspersky.
Even people were skeptical.
Even people that had 1 and 2 and 3 year subscriptions, they just canceled them right on the spot. Didn't even ask their money back. Just went with a different product. Which I feel probably was an overreaction. But that's really what's caused that, Steve.
Yeah. Just don't hear about it very much at all. They're still in business, but we rarely have anybody bring it up. And I just had that thought. It's like that doesn't come up in conversation on the show. 11 minutes now in front of 4. We'll come back. Much more from our talk and text line. And there's still time. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk. Doug Swinhart joining us. Next week we'll have live coverage of Twins Fest from Target Field between 11 and 5 o'clock. No show next week, no Tech Talk, but we will be back in 2 weeks between 2 and 3 o'clock, or I should say between 3 and 4 o'clock Central Time here on CCO. Doug, here's a good one. We've talked a lot about Linux over the years and maybe installing it on an older machine and playing around with it a little bit. And from our text line, I was creating a Linux jump drive when a caution came up about wiping out the entire drive. I stopped at that point. What am I missing in this protocol, if you will, to get it installed?
Yeah, you know, if you've got a hard drive that's already got Windows installed, nearly every distribution will spot it. I'm not sure what distribution you're attempting to do, but that they also have a section where you have to select alongside of Windows or beside. And if you didn't see that, I would contact the support people for that particular distribution and ask them, or try a different distribution. And if you want to give me a call on that, I'm sure we could figure that out in a hurry. But that's but isn't it nice that it let you know that before you move forward?
Yeah, and here's the thing about all of that, and we've brought it up before. Whenever you're doing an install or an update or an upgrade or maybe going from Windows 10 to Windows 11 or what have you, job one is to have all your data, all your documents, all your photos, all your important personal stuff on an external hard drive or stored up in the cloud somewhere, completely away from the machine. While you're doing this stuff.
Couldn't say that any better myself, Steve. And there's something else, too. I am really glad that this particular texter said, wait a minute, I want my Windows environment, and stopped. I think that, too, an easy way for my next step would have been, I'd have just went to another computer or went back into the one with Windows, went to Google, and put in the name of the Linux distribution, space plus, how to... During the install, did not recognize Windows. How to create dual boot? And you're probably going to end up with the answer right there. But if you can't do that, contact support. These people do not want you to have problems with your installation. Or, like I said earlier, seek a different distribution. There are hundreds of them out there. Probably a couple of them that are designed exactly for your computer and your version of Windows. But take a peek. They're out there. And good luck to you.
Yeah, and once again, you've talked a lot about putting that on a USB drive and starting there and starting slow. And by the way, Doug's phone number and email will be available if that person wants to reach out to Doug during the week. One other thing we want to do before we say goodbye, and that is talk about Prevazor. And if you've got a Windows machine, get it. Do yourself a favor. It is a great program. How do people find it?
Oh, I'm glad you recommended that, Steve. Glad you brought it up. Prevazer.com. In my opinion, every Windows machine should have it installed. And once you get to know this program and you're using it and you love it as much as I do, donate a little money to the cause and keep it going. Or just step right up to the plate and be an actual supporter and pay them a little bit each month if you can. It's a tremendous package. I could not recommend with any more confidence that you will be happy with the result. Prevazer.com.
Yeah, and it is simply a tool to keep your machine clean and running well. Kind of like vacuuming the rug, so to speak.
Oh, no doubt. You know, it cleans the files, it reorganizes your data.
Yep.
And first time you run it, it might take a while, but from then on, it's quick. It's very quick. And you can actually set it up now. The last four or five versions that come out, you can do it so it's automated on Thursday night or Friday night or whatever. And it actually even has a little option to where when it's finished, it'll shut your machine down completely. I just love this package. I think they've thought of everything, but they keep finding new stuff to add. I'm liking this.
Well, Doug, always good to visit with you. Enjoy the week off. We'll visit with you in 2 weeks. Before I let you go, though, your phone number and email, please.
Oh, thank you, Steve. 651-552-9543 and admin@wczotech.com. admin@wczotech.com. 651-552-9543. And I'll miss you next week, Steve, but I'll see you in 2 weeks.
All right, very good, Doug. Have a good week. Once again, that is Doug Swinhart, and it is Tech Talk each and every Saturday, sports schedules permitting, between 3 and 4 o'clock. And we'll have live coverage of Twins Fest next week here on CCO. Quick update on the weather. Right now, sunny, bright sun, 10 degrees. Southwest winds at 7. Our wind chills dip to 1 below. For tonight, clouds thicken up, minus 2. And then tomorrow, the warm-up begins. Partly sunny, breezy, high near 20. And then on Monday, cloudy and 30. Looks like 30s for the coming week. No major snow events, but we could get some snow, maybe even a little rain later in the week. And we'll keep an eye on that. We'll have all the news and weather at 4, and then Steve Kearney.